كل الأخبار المتعلقة بالتكنولوجيا والشركات الناشئة يوم بيوم في برنامج تك بالعربي على سماشي تي في.
صباح الخير. عناوين اليوم: كوين مينا تحصل على الموافقة والترخيص من دبي، شركة طماطم تتوسع إلى الصين، ومنصة خزن للمصرية تحصل على تمويل جديد. يا أهلا وسهلا فيكم ببرنامجكم تك بالعربي، معكم أنا هالة بسام. خلونا نبدأ أخبارنا لليوم ونحكي تحديدا عن منصة العملات المشفرة كوين مينا. حصلت كوين مينا المنصة المتوافقة مع أحكام الشريعة الإسلامية والمرخصة والخاضعة للتنظيم من قبل بنك البحرين المركزي على موافقة تنظيمية مبدئية من سلطة دبي لتنظيم الأصول الافتراضية لمواصلة أعمالها في دبي، بينما عم تستكمل عملية تقديم طلب الحصول على رخصة تفي بمتطلبات السلطة. كما وتعتبر طبعا سلطة دبي لتنظيم الأصول الافتراضية هي الجهة الرسمية صاحبة الاختصاص بتنظيم وإدارة أمور قطاع الأصول الافتراضية في دبي، حيث بيشمل اختصاصها جميع أنحاء الإمارة بما في ذلك المناطق الحرة في إمارة دبي، وباستثناء المناطق المالية الحرة المستقلة مثل مثلا مركز دبي المالي العالمي. كما وتم تأسيس السلطة لتكون أول نموذج حوكمة تشاركي عالمي مع تشريعات شاملة وأطر تنظيمية قابلة للتطبيق دوليا. وعبر هذا الإطار التنظيمي عم تهدف السلطة إلى تعزيز وتنمية الابتكار من خلال تمكين رواد هذا القطاع الاقتصادي الجديد، مما طبعا رح يعزز كانت دبي كمركز مالي عالمي. وكانت كوين مينا اللي بتتخذ في البحرين مقر لها قد نجحت في الحصول على ترخيصين للعملات الرقمية خلال عام على انطلاقها، الأول كان من بنك البحرين المركزي والثاني في الاتحاد الأوروبي. وطبعا بهذا الإنجاز الجديد رح يكون الترخيص المبدئي من سلطة دبي لتنظيم الأصول الافتراضية هو الترخيص الثالث، والذي من شأنه أن يكون ويمكن كوين مينا من تقديم المزيد من الخدمات والمزايا للمستثمرين من المؤسسات. رح تستمر طبعا كوين مينا في إضافة ميزات جديدة متمحورة حول تحسين تجربة المستخدم إلى منصتها خلال الأسابيع والأشهر القادمة. ومثل ما عم نشوف أنه مهم جدا موضوع الأمور التنظيمية والريجوليشنز المختصة والمتعلقة بالأمور والعملات المشفرة والتداول، لأنه هيك بيعطي صلاحية أكبر للشركات للتعاون مع شركات مثل كوين مينا وغيرها، وأيضا بيعطي ثقة للمستخدمين بالاستثمار في هذه الشركة. أما إذا بدنا ننتقل ونحكي عن الشركات الناشئة الأخرى في منطقتنا العربية، خلونا نحكي عن شركة طماطم. كشفت الآن طماطم اللي هي شركة لتطوير ونشر الألعاب الأردنية عن توسعها إلى السوق الصيني بعد شراكتها وحصولها على استثمار من صندوق MSA نوفو التابع لشركة الاستثمارات MSA كابيتال. بتعتبر طماطم من أشهر ناشري الألعاب تحديدا والألعاب حول العالم وليس في المنطقة العربية فقط، حيث قامت بنشر أكثر من 50 لعبة مثلا لعبة VIP بالوت وأيضا Clash of Empire. كما ساهمت أيضا بنشر وتعريب ألعاب شهيرة في المنطقة مثلا اللعبة الشهيرة PUBG. رح تعمل الشراكة الجديدة في تقديم بعض من ألعاب طماطم إلى السوق الصيني، كما رح تساعد أيضا في جلب عدد من الألعاب من السوق الصيني إلى منطقتنا العربية. ورح تساهم هذه العملية في مضاعفة سعة فريق العمل بالغ 120 موظف في الوقت الحالي لمواكبة التوسع القادم. أما عن آخر خبر معنا لليوم، نحكي عن منصة خزنلي. أغلقت الآن منصة خزنلي المصرية جولة استثمارية سيد قدرها 2.5 مليون دولار أمريكي بقيادة مشتركة من صندوق استثمار جريء ومستثمرين ملائكيين أيضا. وعم بتخطط المنصة لأعمال الاستثمار في ترقية خدماتها من المنتجات اللي بتعتمد على البيانات، وأيضا بتساعد في توقع الطلب في السوق. كذلك أيضا بتساعد في تعزيز تجربة المستهلك من خلال توفير خدمات التسليم الفوري. تأسست منصة خزنلي المتخصصة في الخدمات اللوجستية والتخزين حسب الطلب في جمهورية مصر العربية في عام 2021 تحديدا. وبالإضافة إلى ذلك عم بتقدم المنصة الرقمية خدماتها اللوجستية لرواد التجارة الإلكترونية في مصر عبر توفير حلول تخزين وتوصيل وتحصيل أيضا تتوافق مع حجم تجارتهم ومتطلباتها التخزينية، حيث عم بتوفر اشتراكات شهرية من 4 فئات تبدأ من 10 وحدات تخزين 100 طلب شهري، وتصعد تدريجياً لتلبية احتياجات الشركات الصغيرة ثم المتوسطة وصولاً طبعاً إلى الشركات الكبيرة، وابدأ مرونة أكبر في التعامل مع متطلباتها واحتياجاتها اللوجستية. هذه كانت كل أخبارنا الصباحية لليوم، خليكم معنا بعد الفاصل مقابلتنا مع مصور المشاهير كيفن لينش في الحديث عن الكولكشن الجديدة من NFTs الخاصة فيه. خليكم معنا ولا تروحوا لبعيد. And we're back with our guest Kevin Lynch, celebrity photographer. Thank you so much for being with us, Kevin.
Well, thank you for having me.
We would like to talk about your latest NFT collection. First of all, congrats on that, but can you tell us more about this project?
Well, it's a project that's very endearing to me. I started working with Kobe Bryant in 2012. So I obviously at that time, my intentions weren't doing NFTs because that wasn't really on the table. So ultimately over the years and consequently after his unfortunate death, I thought that the arsenal of imagery that I had collected during the time that I was fortunate enough and privileged to photograph him, that I think the public needed to have access to it. So recently I created a series called the Kobe Bryant series. And this particular case is called the Kobe Bryant In Sequence. Can you hear me?
Yeah. I can hear you perfectly fine.
Because I don't see you at this point. So I only see myself twice, which is disturbing in itself. So I came up with a series. And, you know, Kobe was one of the most interesting people that, and I worked with a lot of celebrities and personalities in the past. And the first time I met Kobe, I probably worked with Steven Spielberg, and I don't want to name drop too much, but like really big time people. And Kobe gave me this sort of, you got 8 minutes moment. So he showed up on media day and he goes, you got 8 minutes. You know what I said? I got you in 4, Kobe. So I told my assistants, time me. I told my clients, sorry, but we have to shoot our entire campaign in 4 minutes. And they go, how can you do this? How can you promise this? And I go, because in order to, you know, gain his respect, I need to do this in 4 minutes. So I did it in 4 minutes. When the 4 minutes were up, I told Kobe we were done. And he looked at me and he goes, what?
Wow.
Yeah, I said 4 minutes. The year after that and the year after that, Kobe gave me as much time as I needed.
That's amazing. And since 2012, you said you started your journey like with Kobe. When did you decide, like, and how did you decide that now it's the time to make it an NFT and move into the blockchain, even as a photographer?
Well, in the recent years, I started, you know, listening and tapping into the idea, and I was sort of flirting with this whole NFT phenomenon. And then I was trepidatious at first because coming from an analog and then digital and a background where I went through the traditional forms of fine art, museums, galleries, and so on. I go, what is NFT? What is the NFT non-functional token mean? It's so abstract, right?
Yeah.
That it was hard for me to fathom. But then the more I studied it and the more I became informed, the more I realized what an incredible opportunity it is for people, especially artists, to find provenance and liquidity with NFTs. And what I mean by that is the traditional art world is like, let's say the Sotheby's, the Christie's, they control what art gets sold in the auction houses. I get to, as an artist, control my destiny by actually not letting the art houses control, I upload my imagery, and then I have a smart contract which allows me for 5 to 10% of royalty rate, if I choose to, to have a future liquidity, which means basically that if the art sells, and beyond that, let's say it sells for $10,000, and after that, it resells for $20,000, I get 10%. If I'm a traditional artist and I sell an image for $1,000, the gallerist sells it for $10,000, the collector sells it for $20,000, I receive nothing. So my original investment is $1,000. In the NFT world, because of the smart contract, I can actually acquire future interest in my work, which the traditional art world doesn't do.
Exactly.
So only the collector and the gallerist or the museum profit from the artist. Therefore, I became very interested in this because I think that it gives artists another way of finding liquidity in their future.
And that continuous passive income for artists that maybe they didn't have before. So that's an amazing opportunity. But talking about the Kobe Bryant project in particular, what's the biggest challenge you faced in that project and moving into NFTs?
Well, the biggest challenge, I would say, let's put it this way. I had a very personal relationship with him prior to meeting with him. I was always a Lakers fan. And that was when I moved from Europe to the United States and I lived in Los Angeles, I became a Lakers fan. And that consequently turned me into a Kobe fan.
Yeah.
Especially since he won many, three championships. Five actually. And I had the opportunity to work with him. So knowing his ethics, his work ethic, and his discipline, it really inspired me in my own work to have that same approach. Part of that was that there was no compromise. There was no excuse to not giving your all for the cause of your efforts, right? And that's why I really like Kobe. I know he wasn't popular at times for being so adamant about it, but I really related to that more than I related to all his fanfare, his success. It was more his work ethic. So when I met him for the first time, it was something I could relate to. So it was really easy for him to challenge me and to actually be able to, I would say, balance out his intentions. And my other thing with Kobe was that, and I haven't told anybody this, but when Kobe's helicopter crashed, I was only a mile away. And I had worked with Kobe from 2012 to 2016, until he retired, actually. And I happened to be in Agora Hills that day, working at a location, and I could hear the crash. I could smell, I see the smoke, and I didn't know it was his plane. I thought it was a helicopter. It was a plane. It was his helicopter, ultimately, obviously. So I went back into my office, and I heard that it was actually Kobe's helicopter that crashed. I can't say that the loss of it wasn't just the loss of Kobe and his daughter and all the people involved, to be sensitive, but it was also the loss of an incredible person who had the utmost, I would say, ethics of work, dedication, and craft to his work that impressed me the most. And I don't want to get too far into that, but that was one of the things that impressed me the most about Kobe. So to answer your question, later years go by, I thought, well, why not allow the fans and the collectors to have access to the imagery so they can actually acquire, you know, their desires and their connection to Kobe with this image.
That's an amazing tribute to Kobe. He's been an amazing inspiration for a lot of people, honestly. Even us, like in Smash TV, we keep quoting him because it's really an inspiration for someone who's driven and a dreamer and a doer. And that's what we would like to inspire people as well, and especially the youth, to do. Speaking about artists and traditional artists, you've been talking about that, and especially moving from the traditional art to NFTs now and blockchain. What's your take on artists who will stick to the traditional art and not move into the NFT and blockchain world?
Well, I have to really truthfully say, I think that the NFT business has an incredible opportunity for artists right now, especially for artists that are not known. And that's one of the reasons why I'm really inspired by this and why I'm trying to uplift this entire movement. If you look at a Sotheby's or a Christie's, they usually want to sell traditional art. They want to sell art that they know that they can capitalize on. If young artists come into the effect in the NFT world, you have so much more access to a different world of population. So that means basically, you go to a gallery and you have a show, and maybe 300 people show up. That's great, right?
Yeah.
You have an exhibition, it's framed, all that stuff. Everyone shows in the hard work that you put in, whatever years it's been. You go into the virtual world, the metaverse, crypto world, you reach not thousands, not hundreds of thousands, maybe potentially millions of people. So your art goes into a whole different dimension. That doesn't mean that everyone's going to be gravitated to it, but in the gallery world, traditional, you only reach 100 to 200, 300 people. And therefore, your art doesn't really promote itself as much as you can in this new world that we live in. So therefore, I'm really excited to allow myself, even myself, to not be so critical about it, but to actually let it have its play. Because I think ultimately, it's not about what I think, how I feel, it's about how the collector or the person that looks at the work, how they feel. And if you can reach thousands, not if you're lucky, hundreds of thousands or millions of people, how can that even be even questioned, right?
100%. And for artists, like, as you said, in the galleries and everything, it costs a lot of money and approvals and a lot of things. Now the access in the blockchain world, metaverse, it's giving access to artists to be there, available worldwide for people to invest in their art, know about them. And that's honestly amazing. Also, like, we cannot forget, like, the shipping prices, things like that, all those fees. Are now way less in the metaverse, almost, we can say, almost free. So that gives a great opportunity for artists to move into that world, I believe, and gain passive income. Who doesn't want more money?
You are so absolutely right. You hit it right on the nail, on the top of the nail, because the provenance and liquidity that an artist receives in this new NFT world bypasses having to pay agents, gallerists, et cetera, all that extra fees, gives artists basically the control,
exactly,
and the power back. And most of all, what's so beautiful about NFTs is the 10% to 5%,
yes,
of what we call smart contract. And that smart contract allows an artist, as I was saying maybe earlier, to get the provenance in the future. So if it's something sells, let's say, like I said, for $10,000 and ultimately sells later on for $100,000, the artist receives 10% of that. In the past, that didn't happen. Yep. So that's why I'm a big believer in that, especially for younger artists who are just starting out and trying to find their way. They don't have access into the art world traditionally, Christie's, Sotheby's, et cetera. Yep. They don't get in there because what Christie's and Sotheby's is trying to do is sell established art, right? So they don't want the young guys to come in because they don't see the potential as much as a as in the NFT world. NFT world, it's all bets are off. We get to do whatever we want, and then we're going to let the public decide what is art, and not the elitist.
I love it, and we're looking forward for that exciting era we're moving towards. Kevin, thank you so much.
Yeah, and I have a really great series coming up. So what I'm doing is this is called the Kobe Bryant Experience. So I'm coming out with the sequence. Then we're coming out with the Kobe Bryant Black Mamba. Then I'm coming out with my Kiss band collage that I did for Lobo Vogue. So I am entertaining, and I'm also going on Ravencoin. I'm not just in the Ethereum world. I'm investigating in all these areas with open-mindedness. I have no idea where this is going to go. All I know is I'm reaching people, and that what I think is the art about. It's about communicating and about reaching people. And I'm so grateful that I can actually talk to you in Dubai at this hour and being able to be in that place. It's so exciting to me. I can't wait to go to Dubai, by the way.
We're waiting for you here.
I have actually my new people that are creating my artwork right now and my new platform are from Dubai. So this is why this is so exciting to me. So this new Kobe called In Sequence that's coming out is very unique. We only do 200 of them. I hope that people in Dubai appreciate it and are interested in buying it because I think that it's... you know, Kobe is to me like an icon. And I hope that the people like that.
We're looking forward, honestly. And yes, I agree with you. I always say we're so grateful that we're living in the technology era right now. I can speak to you while you're in another continent, but still we're reaching out to an audience, sharing the information and the knowledge. And that's amazing. And about art is all about flowing. So just going with the flow and seeing how it goes and the creativity is just amazing. So thank you so much, Kevin. Thank you for being with us and best of luck in the next series that you have.
Thank you
so much, and thank you everyone who was with us. We had with us Kevin Lynch, celebrity photographer, and I was with you in Tech Bil Arabi show. I'll see you next Monday, same time, next episode. Thank you so much.
مثل ما وعدناكم أخبار جديدة ومقابلات مع رواد أعمال يوميا في برنامج تك بالعربي على سماشي تي في. حملوا التطبيق الآن. We'll be right back.